We're going to be looking at building a life of service. Building a life of service. Many people want to be served, and they're very slow at serving others. Many promise to serve, but they don't keep their promise on their service. And I'm talking about even in families. I'm talking about in relationships. I promise, you know, I will take care of you. It'd be like me with a 101-year-old mother and, you know, told her ever since I can remember, you don't have a thing to worry about. So what does she do? Worries. Well, they can come and get me whether you said no or not. And no, they can't. But it's the idea of building the life of service that people can count on you, that when you say this is the way it is or this is what I will do, that you will do it. Well, the Lord counts on us, folks, and the Lord says that I've created you for that service, and I want you to build your life based on a life of serving others. You will never find yourself until you've gotten involved with everyone else. You can never see the hope that we talk about so often when we're preaching or teaching. You can never experience that hope until you have seen the hopeless and you've been down there with the hopeless. Matthew 20, verse 26. Whoever wants to become great must be a servant to others. Mark 10:45, Jesus is speaking. For even I didn't come to be served, but to serve others and give my life as a ransom for many. That's what service does. Jesus says, I've come to serve. Now, he's coming again. The next time he comes, he will be the reigning king. But how did his kingdom what was his kingdom focused on? Serving others. He didn't care what religious leaders said. He would walk with whomever God the Father led in his path. He cared about others. He cared about the hurt and cared about the pain. And he had to experience. Now, this is what is so powerful on service. Jesus promised, I will give myself and I will take the guilt of whosoever calls on me. I will take their pain. I will die for them. I always smile in reading a lot of the scripture when you know when all the plots and all of this that they went through to try to kill Jesus and his disciples and all those plots. They had it figured out. This is what we will do. But Jesus says nothing's going to be done until the time is right. Now, Jesus said that no one would take his life from him, that he himself would lay down his life for us. So therefore, going along to Golgotha, or to the hill, he made that service commitment. I will carry your cross, your sins. I'm doing it for you. I've come here to serve you. Now, how many gods out there do you know that do that? Or that the believers do that? Oh, I got a new one in from a request from the jail the other day. There is a religion based on all the guy that has the big hammer, you know, in the movies, Thor. Yes. And when the Sergeant Major called me, I said, what? He said, yeah, do you know anything about the worship of Thor and all of this? And I said, is this the Thor that I think it is with the movie that was out, you know? Okay. And he said, yes. And I said, well, you tell the inmate, no, he's not getting the hammer. No, that's not going to work with that. But we have people that come in with and said, well, it's pagan worship. There's a whole group there through pagan worship. And They said, we have a right to worship just like the Christians do. And I said, you're absolutely right. We worship in spirit and in truth. You have exactly that right to do it. But you can't harm others in the process of your religion. Why use our life to serve others? Why use our life to serve others? Number one, for we were created for service. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God said, it's all planned out. Now, is he saying, I'm going to make you do this? No. For those who whosoever call on him and, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm broken. I've hurt people. I'm sorry for that, Lord. Forgive me and allow me to serve you. And the Lord says, okay, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Therefore, now you got to remember, before time existed, Christ Jesus existed. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Explain it? No. Any more than any of us can explain God. In Christ Jesus to do good works. Okay. Good works. Do you really believe folks cutting people's heads off at good works? And you know, I don't care whether it's Christians doing it. You know, I see all the vileness and viciousness that I'm witnessing right now on the deal on these marriage license. Do not insult the name of Jesus Christ by dealing with what is secular. Christians, no. Christians, you are not given permission to marry the same sex. Those who don't know Christ, that's the least of your problems. Why is any Christian going to stand? Hey, and if I'm elected to an office to uphold the office in the secular realm which we are in, and I don't believe in that stuff, then I resign. But I will not stand up and insult the Lord and bring that into place of saying, well, I'm going to be judged and you're going to be judged. For one thing, that's not scriptural. For one thing, as a Christian, the judgment went on Christ, right? Yeah. Okay. So when we get so caught up in the secular realm with this, the Lord says, be ye in the world, but not of the world. So when you're in the world and whatever job it is, if it offends your Christian walk, if it offends you spiritually, resign. Exactly. Now, as a pastor, I can stand up, and you all hear me say it all the time. This is what Christ says. I will stand for it. Will you allow same-sex marriages in the church? Absolutely not. While I'm pastor, it won't be allowed. Will you endorse homosexuality as a whole? No. Will you then truly support the right for a woman to abort a child? No. Now, if, as it's God's call to me, if I were in a secular position and they would ask me that and I'd give them that answer, if I were them, I'd fire me. But I'm not in a secular realm. I'm called by God. My boss has always been God. Whether in jail or prison, that's why I would never, ever, out of all those almost 40 years, never took a dime from local governments, state governments, or any other government. As soon as I would have done that, I would have lost all authority from God. So, can everybody do that? No, it's your calling. Look, if God calls you to do something and you know that it is God, then you stand strong to represent who God is. In your own opinion, then your own opinion is, if it goes against others, once again, why are you pulling the Lord into all of this? You and I have no authority to judge eternally the eternal destination of anyone. don't have that. That comment I got, I made several times when people said, well, I guess you think homosexuals can go to heaven. I said, they can if they're saved. Whew! You ought to try that one on. You know, to be charged with being too conservative and the other group says you're nothing but a liberal heathen. It seems like, oh, didn't they accuse Jesus of that? Wasn't he a glutton and a wine bibber and a drunkard? And well, okay. Number two, we were saved for service. 2 Timothy 1:9, it is God who saved us and chose us for his holy work. The work God has chosen us to do is set aside for his service. How the personality God has given you, you use that personality in service for the Lord. Well, yeah, but I don't know how to do that. Good. Because when you walk in the presence of God and say, Lord, I don't have anything, the Lord says, good, I can use you. Because God says, I saved you to serve others. Number three, we've been called by God to service. I wanted to get you all the scripture on this. Galatians 1:15, God in his grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve him. Now, there's the scripture. I'm not going to try to explain it. But that's the realm of God. Then didn't the Lord say that I don't think like men? Doesn't the Lord tell us that we're to worship in spirit and in truth because he is not like man that he would lie or he would be tempted to? Okay. Ephesians 4:1, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Live a life worthy. I give thanks to the Lord. You know, and with Elijah coming up here on Sunday and that message of knowing that, you know, you remember the fire and the storms and all of this. This is just a little invitation for Sunday morning. Anyway, you know, and you see all of that and all that I had of over the years, as I tell you all the time is different. And then here I am where God calls him out of the cave where he went to hide. He calls him, you know, and of course we all know, well, it was in the still small voice. Remember that? But it had just hit me. God was letting him know, I don't need the fire for this. Because Elijah was shown fire from heaven and all this all going down. And not only that, you don't have to be loud. God, I've never left you, Randy. I'm right by your side. All I got to do is just whisper to you. See, we understand. Whoops, excuse me. We understand then. We understand through this, that's how much God loves us. And he's so close, he doesn't need to yell. He just whispers. Number four, we've been gifted for service. Well, I don't know what my gift is. Why don't you try serving and doing something for somebody else and find out? 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you some special abilities, plural. Be sure to use them to help each other. Okay. He's talking to Christians. You got to remember that all of the teaching and all that you're hearing in the Bible are to the believers, folks. It's to the church. And everybody says, you know, that world ought to pay attention. Jesus is talking to us, not the world. They don't know him. Why use our life to serve others? Number five, we are commanded to serve others. You know, when God tells you to do something, it's wise to go ahead and do it. Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus speaking again. Your attitude, oh, there's a lot that happens with attitude, isn't there? Your attitude must be like my own. For I did not come to be served, but to serve. An attitude of love. Let's do it that way. Jesus, in his whole attitude, everything he did was out of love. When a Christian does anything out of love from God, I guarantee you that it's not sin. Okay. Number six, it proves that we belong to Christ. You got to remember, folks, the only ones who have accepted Christ, those that are in the church, that's not where we're supposed to take Christ outside the church. And we're to represent him to a world who doesn't know him. We don't come up to each individual and say, you remember that story about Daniel in the lion's den? No, they don't. They've never heard it. So the Lord tells us, it proves we belong to Christ. Listen to Romans 7:4. You are part of the body of Christ, and you belong to him in order that we might be useful in the service of God. We need each other. When we get our heads together and our hearts together, you will see the mountains move through the power of Christ. Number seven, our church family needs our service, right? 1 Corinthians 12:27. I always have to chuckle when I talk about the church of Corinth. I mean, I cannot imagine being the pastor there. Good gracious. Everything, every foul situation that existed was coming into Corinth. And I wonder if that pastor was packing a lot of tempting. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you together, you got it? All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each, now individually, each of you is a separate and necessary part of it. When people say, well, I just don't fit in, who told you that? If you have trouble fitting in, focus on why you think that it is happening. Well, see, I don't know anybody that comes to this church that doesn't feel like they don't fit in. If you can't feel like you're fitting in around here, you've probably got a problem. Number eight, serving others is the way to serve God. Let me read it again for the listening audience also. Serving others is the way to serve God. Well, how can I serve God? Serve others. Help others. Everyone that you serve out there, when you are wanting to help them, you have just served God. And you do it out of love. Colossians 3:23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving, okay? I'm serving the Lord. My job, title and all of this, is just the opposite of serving the Lord. Therefore, if it comes up to that, then what would I do? I will step aside. But let me tell you this. When the day comes, and if it comes in my lifetime, and they walk in the church to arrest me for preaching the gospel, I will have put myself in that place, and I will gladly go with them. I'm not going to fight them. I am not going to get involved in that. Fine, you want to arrest me for what you call hate speech, which really is the love of Christ? I realize that that can happen. So if I know that it can happen, if I know what I'm getting ready to say is going to have consequences, then I need to be man enough, or we need to be woman enough to say, fine, I'm guilty. You're right, I am guilty. So lock me up. You know, I don't think a couple of years in a jail cell would be that bad. You all haven't seen the cells lately. And, you know, to catch up on a little rest and a little... But you think of that. then you accept the responsibility. I realize what you all are saying, I'm breaking the law. But now, I am pastor of Fine Grove Baptist Church. If you say that your laws are dictating to me that I cannot call same-sex marriage sin, I cannot call abortion on demand like they're doing sin, and you know what, you can't say that anymore, then fine, you're right, I've broken the law, I'm going to jail. I'd love, wouldn't that be a great, awesome way to go to heaven? Do you remember the revival that started with Paul and them?
Barnabas.
Yeah.
No, Silas. Paul and Silas.
Yeah, they were singing.
Yeah.
They got to singing and everybody got saved.
Yeah. Silas.
Yeah. The Lord always has a reason. Okay. I said that, didn't I? Whatever you do, work with all your heart. As working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Number 9, because we owe everything to Christ. Again, why use our life to serve others? Because we owe everything to Christ. Romans 12:1. Because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service, not what people think you, the way you, they think you should be serving. Number 10, because service makes life meaningful. Folks, I know a whole lot of people that are miserable. They've got anything that any normal person would ever want, well taken care of their family and all of this, and they're miserable. Because it's not what you get, it's what you give that brings the peace in your heart. And if what you get, and you pay attention to it as what I'm getting is from God, you better use it for God's service. Number 10, because service makes life meaningful, Mark 8:35. If you try to keep your life for yourself, think maybe anybody's a little selfish nowadays. Okay. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. But, you know, if I do what the Lord calls me to do, then I'm going to be out in the ditch and, you know, I'm not going to be able to feed my family. That's just an honorary Christian that doesn't want to serve the Lord. Don't I remember again, Brother Randy, of God's in God's Word that you will never see a child of God begging bread. Now, do I see children of God that end up hungry? And I'm talking about the children. Yeah. You know why? Because of honoriness of the parents. But we love them, and we will do what we can. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Keep busy in your work for the Lord. Keep busy in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever without value. You can't go wrong with Scripture, folks. Number 11, why use our life to serve others? We will be held accountable for our service. Good reason. Payday someday. Romans 14:12. Each of us will have to give a personal account to God. All of us do. What's my personal account? I plead the blood. Give a personal account to God. It's always been, since the beginning of, or before the beginning of time, it's through Jesus Christ. We can't do it right, folks. And as soon as we think that we have, well, I haven't been so bad. Let me think about it and see if I've sinned. Oh, my goodness. Watch out, because the preacher will lose his mind on that one. Okay, number 12. because we have already been rewarded for our service. Okay. People say, yes, but I'm going to get the reward. Yes, you are. But here's what we forget. We've already been rewarded. Jesus died for us. Our reward is heavenly. It's with Him. We have already received our reward. So, Romans 5, 6, and 8, you see, at just the right time, people are not going to rush God. I don't care what committee they're on. I just got an email also that our International Mission Board, Baptist, Southern Baptist, because times are so rough that they're going to put out 700 to 800 employees. Now, and then the statement under it said, but it will not affect the promotion of the word. Well, when I see stuff like that, I think, then why did you have 800 people on staff and paying them, and then all of a sudden you're going to disrupt their families, you're going to pull it out. Where'd the money go? And it so often it's a ploy to get people to give more. But it is so sad to see that 700 to 800. But now the loss of that mission work is not going to really affect. Really? Okay. Very rarely will let me start again on verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Okay, what do I tell the ungodly? Christ died for you. That's the lost. That's the world. That's the ones we're talking to. That's the message. That's the good news. Very rarely, though, will anyone die for a righteous man. Now listen to that one. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Meaning, very rarely will you see, if there's a righteous man over there getting ready to get his head cut off, and you will not stand up and say, no, take mine and let him live. Very rarely, because that man is a great man. That man has really served the Lord. That man's done so much. And so very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though, for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. You see where he's getting at? Okay, listen to this, though. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the unrighteous. He died for the church. Jesus died for those who hated Him. Oh, yes, but you know, He died for all of us Christians. Yeah, we weren't Christians when He died for us. Yeah, that's right. He died for everyone. And yet, at this time, as He said, I'm dying because the human race cannot see my Father unless I do. Got to pay the debt. Here's our response, what it should be. Psalm 86:11. Teach me to serve You with complete devotion. Lord, I'll serve You every time I really feel in the Spirit. Well, you're not going to feel excited a lot of times of your life. A lot of our life, and I must say, the majority of our life, we deal with hurt, pain. We deal with anger. We deal with brokenness. But when we're devoted to the Lord, we need to understand something. He was devoted to us before we became devoted to Him. And He said, the only thing I want for you is the best. I want to give you something that the world can't give you. Inner peace. Inner peace. And they turn the lions loose on them. And they're smiling. How do you smile? You know, that's as bad as Randy Kidder telling me, now, Brother Larry, you better get a smile on your face while we're singing. Good gracious, you try to smile and sing at the same time. Yeah, I bit my tongue. That was thanks to you, Randy. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. And folks, serve the Lord with gladness, and as it comes, stand there, take it, and say, praise God.